Those of you who don't know me, my name is Ben, and I'm going to be sharing the word with you tonight. If you want to know me a little bit more better, there's coffee afterwards, and then I'll stick you for a coffee. It's on me. I'm joking. So two weeks back, I spoke to you about BMT. For those of you who know what it was, it's Big Match Temperament, and that we need to have our basics covered. So I'm going to expand a little bit on that, but I'm also going to link it to why we come to church. So I want to ask some questions tonight, and I want you to think, and I want you to answer them. If you want, you can answer them aloud, but otherwise just answer them in your head, and don't expose yourself. So the question I want to ask tonight is, why church? And I want you to think, why are we having church? Why did Jesus say he's going to build his church? Why are you coming to church? And it don't have to be this church. If you're just visiting tonight, so don't look at a denomination or a specific church group. Just church in general, the followers, the followers of Jesus. Why are we gathering together? Why are we having a church building? Why are we having church offices? Why is there people employed by the church? Why are we doing this church? So I want you to think, and I want you to maybe, we'll maybe later just quickly divide up in groups of 2 to 3 and maybe just share your experience and maybe pray for one another, but we'll get there later. So the question I have, before I get there, this whole week I knew that I have to preach tonight, and during this whole week I prepared a sermon, I did a lot of research, and a lot of knowledge I gathered from all the internet sources, a lot of books. I spoke to a couple of people, and I were preparing, as they would say, a decent sermon. And just before the weekend starts, God just spoke to me and I said, Ben, what are you doing? I'm like, God, I'm preparing this amazing sermon. Like, people are going to be blown by the knowledge I'm going to tell them and all the exciting stuff and the things that happened and the things that are about to happen. All this knowledge, God, it's going to be awesome and your name is going to be glorified. And he just told me, Ben, throw away that thing. Because you're not exalting me, you're exalting yourself. And then Friday morning I sat down and I was like, okay, God, what do you want to do? And that is what is God is want to share tonight. And I maybe just want to repent of that before you guys, that I wanted in myself to prepare a proper sermon, to look good. Because it's lucky to feel good, right? If someone tell you, yes, that was neat, that was good. But yeah, so I just want to say sorry for that if that was my heart. So I just want to share what God has on his heart tonight. So yeah, that's where I am at. And what I'm sharing, it feels to me very basic. But I just sense God is taking us back to the basics. As this morning God was speaking, us as a church movement, God is taking us back to the basics. And that's why I have the question, why church? Why are we having church? What are we doing here? My wife's laughing at my sound effects. So, and that is a question I have to think for myself as well. Why am I working for the church? Am I doing it because it's a nice job? Is it for the money? Definitely, amen. So that is the question I want you to think, just for yourself, as I'm talking tonight. Why church? And I hope that I can give you some answers tonight. Because church, is it easy? Is it fun? Most of the times. Is it a municipal service that you can complain about on Facebook? Because if I open my Facebook, there's a lot of complaints these days. This guy parked like this at the mall, and it's just crazy. But church is not, it's not a municipal service that we are doing. It is a service, but it's a service where we glorify God. Church is voluntary. It is not, we don't pay you guys, or some of you, to sit here and make comments and laugh at our jokes. But church is voluntary. You come here because you want to receive something. You want to get something. You're struggling maybe with someone. You want someone to pray with you. Jesus spoke to his disciples in Matthew 16, verse 16 to 18. And I'm going to read it to you. It's going to be up there as well. Simon Peter asked, just context. Jesus asked them, who is the Messiah? And then Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now I just want to go back to the rock part. Jesus said, and on this rock I will build my church. Now I want to ask you, now you are welcome to answer. What is this rock that Jesus is speaking about? That he's going to build his church on. Because we are part of building his church. But at the end, Jesus is building his church. God is building his church. God is adding people to the church. So what is this rock that Jesus is talking about? I'm going to help you. It's himself. It's his word. It's Jesus. Jesus needs to be the foundation. When this building is built, there's a foundation. Out of concrete, it's a mixture of clippies, and sand and water and cement thrown under in such slaughter things. And then that's the foundation, and then the building is built on that. So if the foundation is not properly laid, it's not strong cement, this building is not going to be strong. This building is not going to last if there's a tornado coming through. Well, maybe nothing is going to last. But if there's a hectic wind coming, the building is not going to last because the foundation is not properly laid. But if the foundation is strong, the building is going to last. And there's this parable about where you build your house on the rock or on the sand. So Jesus said he's going to build his house, he's going to build his church on the rock. Now he's the rock. So if our church, if our relationships, if my relationship with God is built on Jesus, is built on the rock, it's gonna last. But if not, maybe when a wave hits you, your feet is gonna be taken out under you and you're gonna fall. And it's gonna be painful and then there's some healing needed. And all of us need healing. Now, don't say we all are perfect. But Jesus said that he's going to build his church on the rock. Now, whenever we do something here at church, whenever we do outreaches, as Ilse just told us about, it is not because we have nothing to do. Because we don't have anything, so we just fill the program. No, it's not. It's because we want people to have an encounter with Jesus. It is because we want people to see Jesus. It's because we want people to experience Jesus. That's why Phil lead worship tonight. It's because that we can lift God's name. It's because we need to glorify him. Because whenever we glorify him, we don't look to ourselves, we look to him. Because if we're going to look to ourselves, we're just going to boast in ourselves and we're going to show, but that is neat. Well, that is good. But we're not. We're going to look to Jesus. And Jesus needs to be the center of whatever we do. When I married my wife, we said we're going to have Jesus in the center of this marriage. When I preach, I want Jesus to be glorified. I don't want myself to be glorified. I want Jesus to be glorified. When we go on outreach to Paul East, we want the kids to see Jesus. We want them to take Jesus and have a relationship with him. We want Jesus to be the center. We want Jesus to be the rock of whatever we do. And on this rock, I will build my church. The builder, the maker of the church is Christ himself. And he said, I will build it. The church is the temple which Christ is the builder. So many times I work with a lot of youth. I'm the youth pastor here. So whenever I spend time with some of the school boys or school men, they're not boys anymore, we have a conversation around church. What is church? Are you going to church? Why are you going? And most of them say, because my mom says I have to go. And I'm trying to break that thing, but it's difficult. So we have to think constantly, why are we going? And I'm going to get later to do a bit of practical, what can we do to in our heads get this right? So I'm going to read another, or before, Jesus is a humble guy. Jesus is 100% God, and he was 100% human when he was on earth. Now, when I read scripture, I don't have a physical Bible, but I have a Bible on this iPad. Whenever I read the scripture and I look at the characteristics of Jesus, I make the assumption and I read there that it didn't say Jesus is humble. But when I read his story, when he's ministering to people, that I can see that he's humble. And that is something that we as a church, we as believers, we have to take that characteristic and we need to adopt it and put it on daily. We need to be humble. We need to be a people that is humble. We need to be a people that repent. Because whenever you repent, I told Yolandi the other day, it feels to me that I have to repent every day. Because I'm doing stuff wrong every day. I don't take out the black bags as I should always. I do take them, but sometimes just a little bit later as expected. So I have to repent daily. And I told her the other day while driving, but shucks, I think I miss this whole marriage thing because I have to say yammer every day. I have to repent every day. Like, it feels to me I don't have to do it. I'll just wait for the week and then repent for the week stuff. And then she give me an eye. But she forgives me daily as well. So we have to be a humble people. I need to humble myself and know, okay, shucks, I missed it again. I forgot to do something. And then I feel bad and I have to go to my wife and say, Liffy, I'm really sorry. I forgot to do it. Or I'm really sorry that I treated you in the way I treated you. And then there's immediately reconciliation. She forgives me and I said, ah, yes, boom, pinta. And then there's a relationship that is restored. And that is exactly the same with Jesus. Whenever we miss something, whenever we are disobedient, sure, that English. Whenever we are disobedient, we need to go to God and say, God, we are sorry, we missed it. And he's faithful to forgive us. Forgiveness, just a freebie out there. Forgiveness is the key to experience God's presence. Whenever there's unforgiveness in our hearts, we struggle to experience his presence. It is something that took me quite a while to understand. Because you're the youth pastor. You need to experience God. But there's unforgiveness in my heart. So I don't hear his voice. I don't hear him speak. I don't have love for people around me. I get frustrated easily. And then suddenly I'm like, shucks, I have unforgiveness in my heart. And then I need to sort it out. And it's very difficult, almost always, to repent. To humble yourself and say, okay, I'm sorry, please forgive me. So a freebie out there, forgiveness is the key to experience God's presence. Because we do want to experience his presence. We do want to hear his voice. We do want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. But then we need to be faithful. We need to be a people that are humble. That turn from our wicked ways. That wasn't in my notes. That was free. I want to turn to John 17, verse 20 to 23. Whenever Jesus said he's going to build his church, he also spoke about unity, about oneness. And unity, whenever there's unity, God commands a blessing. You don't suggest a blessing. He commands. And now whenever God commands something, like, you can trust that. When God said, let there be light, there was light. When God commands a blessing, there will be a blessing. So we need to fight for unity. We need to make sure that there's no unforgiveness amongst us. Because we are a church. And God want to build His church. God want to bless the church. But whenever there's disunity, there's no blessing. And we want God's blessing because God's blessings are nice. It's lacquer to have God's blessing. So I'm going to read a scripture, John 17 verse 20 to 23. And I want to ask you, maybe just to get some participation going here. Whenever I read the word one or unity, you can just raise your hand and let go your hand again. Just because it's nice. Okay, so I'm not going to scream. I do not ask for these things only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be all one. Yes, you are working with me. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me, that the glory you have given me and I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And I am them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. Other scripture says perfectly in unity. Okay, so that the world may know that you sent me and I love you. Sent me and love them even as you loved me. So whenever Jesus speaks, whenever we read scripture, we see that unity is one. Just as we are in the Father and the Father in us, we as a church are one body. I got this illustration earlier today. When we as a church, we need to be directly, we need to be specific. We cannot just be a church attending everything in town, trying to save the whole, that is the mission, to save Paul and get Paul to turn to Jesus. But we just cannot be a loose cannon, take a shotgun and shoot and hope we shoot something and they will turn to Jesus. We need to be specific. We need to be a people that are intentional at work. Because from a church side, we have programs running. And you need to invite the people to that so that people can get to Jesus. But when we are at work, that is where it's difficult. Because that is where the difficult person sitting next to you or across the room from you are irritating. But they just need Jesus. So how are we going to get them to Jesus? We need to be intentional. So I've got this illustration, and I don't know if my physics are 100% correct. So David is not here. I hope he'll be here to back my physics, but he's not. So I'm going to try my best. Okay, so whenever I switch on a light, it fills the room. Right? So those light molecules, things that gives light, just run around in the room and there's light. Right? Okay, but whenever I take a laser, you know that laser when we were all children, we had those laser beams that if you shine it in people's lights or in class, you shine it on the teacher's back and the whole class would be laughing. But that is a specific light. When you press the button, those thingies that makes the dot, the molecules or whatever we call it, don't run around everywhere. They are in unity. They run to the specific point where I pointed. I have a laser, but I couldn't find it today. I wanted to play with it. So just to make sure that you understand. So whenever I point a laser, those red dot, all those light molecules, just for the sake of the story, they run to the same spot. But when we switch on that light, those light beams run around this whole building. And they fill the building. But we want to be a church. We want to be people that are intentional. Whenever we meet with someone, whenever we disciple someone, whenever we have accountability with someone, we're not having discipleship just for the sake of discipleship. We don't have encounters for the sake of having encounters. We have those things to be intentional. So whenever you invite someone to an encounter one, there's an expectation that if they don't know the Lord yet, that they will accept the Lord. Or not necessarily accept, but the gospel, Jesus, will be presented to them. Because that is the aim of that. The aim is to inform people about the baptism, about the Holy Spirit and how you receive it. You don't take people to encounter one and get offended with us if we talk about encounter one. But you expected us to talk about forgiveness. No, we are intentional with what we do. And that is the same with us at work. We need to be intentional when we disciple people. When we spend time with people. About 6 months ago, I spent time with a guy he's in a school in Paul. I'm not going to name the school, but he's in a school in Paul, and we had regular coffee dates, if that is what I can call it. But we have discipleship times together, and it was normally 45 minutes to an hour. And I saw him four times, and the first meeting I had with him, I just tried to get to know the guy a little bit better just from seeing him at youth weekly. And we went to McDonald's. That's the easiest place to meet one another. So we went to McDonald's. We have a Coke and a burger. And I just say, listen, tell me about yourself. And I think that was the wrong thing to do. Because he just bragged to me about how good his golf swing is. And for an hour long, he explained to me how good he plays golf. I couldn't stop the guy. I'm like, okay, cool. And he just continues. And eventually the whole hour were up. I'm like, okay, cool. It's great to get to know you a little bit better. Let's meet next week. Same time, same place. Next week came the same thing. He just talked about his putt. I'm like, oh, shucks. Another hour went by without me presenting the gospel to him. And I told some of the guys in youth, I told them, yes, we need to pray for this guy. I'm trusting for the opportunity to present the gospel to him. The third time sitting there, he got a girlfriend. Guess what he spoke about? For an hour long, his girlfriend. The fourth time, I told him, okay, before you speak, let me speak quickly. Just pause. And I told him, listen, this is not why I want to spend time. I don't want to hear your stories for an hour long every day or every week. I do want to hear your stories, but please make them shorter. Because I also want to have an opportunity to speak. I didn't be as crass as I was just now. But I told him, like, we have a common purpose here. We have something to get to. And I told him from the beginning, I'm going to talk about Jesus because I love Jesus. When I love my wife, I speak about my wife. And I do speak about my wife. But we need to be intentional in those meetings. We need to be intentional when we are at work. We know this guy is struggling with an issue because he don't know Jesus. Are we just going to let him speak all the time? Or are we going to trust for an opportunity for us to also speak to him and present Jesus to him? The first time around I saw that guy, I just said, listen, on the WhatsApp, I said, listen, I have this and this and this to speak to you about. And he was so excited, and he were angry at me because we wasted 3 weeks. And he asked me, why didn't you say 3 weeks ago? I'm like, I was trying, but you just talk about your golf swing all the time. And when I started to be intentional with him, I told him, listen, this is what we're going to talk about today. With the youth, you have to be strict and intentional. And he was so glad that I took that. In that time, it was only a half an hour. We prayed together in McDonald's. He gave his life to Jesus in McDonald's. And from there on, he's still in youth. He's a leader at youth. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. We baptized him just the other day. But I just made a decision that I'm not going to just listen to stories anymore. Because if we're just going to listen to stories, we're going to listen to a lot of stories. Because there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of bad things going on in town. Maybe here in this room. But when we are intentional in those things, we have the opportunity to say, okay, listen, we have authority over spiritual things, and we're going to take our authority up, and we're going to say, this is going to stop. And maybe it's one prayer you need to do, but that is going to change someone's life. Or just one testimony that we share is going to change someone's life. And we need to be intentional in these things. And that is where I got my laser beam illustration. That we need to be direct. We need to be speak the truth in love to people. Otherwise, we are just taking a shotgun and shooting around and hope we get someone saved and hope we make a difference in someone's life. Because we come to church to receive something. I hope with the question, why church? If you were thinking about the question, why are you coming here? Maybe it's for the good coffee. I don't know. But maybe there's something inside of you longing for Jesus, longing to get more of God's presence in your life. Just longing for someone to ask you, listen, Ben, how are you doing? And then you can say, sure, I'm really struggling. Can you please pray for me? And there's something that meets that expectation. So I've come to this conclusion that church has a give and take principle. And I'm going to explain that now. Okay? So whenever we come to church, we receive. Mostly. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of you that come here to give. But that's where the give and take comes in. Okay? So when people come to church, they come to receive a message. They maybe come to receive in worship time. They receive the presence of God. I've got the remote here in front. I see the people at the back are getting cold. As jy net vir hom kan aangee asseblief. Excuse, ek het 'n bietjie distracted geraak. Okay, so when we come to church, we come to give. We come to receive. We receive a message, we receive a word from God. But then on the other hand, when we received that, we need to go and give that out again. Whenever we receive discipleship, we need to make sure that we disciple someone else again later in the process. Or while you are being discipled, in the youth where we are busy discipling people, we train them up to say, listen, when I disciple you, while I'm busy discipling you, discipling means spending time together, read scripture together, pray together, encourage one another, maybe rebuke one another, say, listen, this thing in your life is not correct, you need to change and you need to repent. And discipleship is always to draw people closer to Jesus. So that is discipleship. So whenever we disciple people, I train them up. When I disciple you, you need to get someone else that you can disciple. Because then indirectly, I disciple two people. And then that guy needs to be trained that whenever that guy is training that guy needs to disciple that guy. So that is just a process that we need to start. Whenever we receive something, we need to give something. When we receive God's forgiveness, we need to give God's forgiveness. Does it make sense to you? So we receive at church, we receive friends. I was thinking today, what do I receive at church? I receive spiritual impartation, so I need to give that. I received a lot of good friends here. So I need to be a good friend to other people. I receive discipleship, so I need to disciple someone. I receive coffee there at the back, so I need to take people for coffee. Whenever I come to church, I need to give. Now what do I give? If you can just think, you don't have to answer, but just think when you come to church, what do you give to the body of Christ? Because Jesus says he's going to build his church. So you are the reason I just need to figure that out of my head. God is building his church and you are one of the building blocks that he is using to build his church. So what part are you playing in this church? You don't have to answer. But what do we give? Except finances. Let's take finances out of the equation. Don't think about finances. You need to give that as well. But when we come here, I need to give myself. I need to give my gifts that God gave me. God give all of us, he give gifts. And we need to use those gifts. We need to practice those gifts. If God is speaking to you in a meeting, you need to bring that gift. Maybe God has given you a song to sing. You need to bring that. You need to be obedient. Maybe God has given you a talent. Maybe to work with finances. And you can train the rest of us who are struggling maybe with that. And you're using your gift. Maybe it is a great discipleship tool that you have. Bring that. Bring whatever you have in small group. You practice the gifts that God is giving you. But the big key in all of this is humility. Whatever we do here, we do it with humble hearts. And many times it's difficult. Because to be humble is many times difficult. Because you have to be the least. You have to die to yourself. When I got married, I died to a lot of things about myself. When I got to church, I died to a lot of things about myself. Because it's not about me. It's not about you. I'm sorry to say that, but it's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus taking center stage. It's not about the band. It's not about what the programs we run. It's that we need to take people to Jesus. And there's a lot of, I can give you a lot of tools or not. There's a lot of tools available if you struggle. You don't know how to present the gospel. You don't know how to start a conversation about Jesus. There's a lot of tools available. There's a lot of clever people sitting here that have been doing this for quite a while. And we can learn from one another. Next year, there's a course that we're going to present. It's called Encounter 5. Share in another term. And that is where we're going to train the people to share the gospel. We're going to train people to just share your own story. Because all of us have a testimony. Some have a radical testimony. Maybe you've been saved from drugs and all the bad things. But maybe you've not been saved from those things. You grew up in a Christian home. But there's struggles as well. And that is also a testimony. Because there's a lot of people struggling with those things. So don't be discouraged if I'm saying we need to be a laser beam church and you don't know where you fit in. There's place for all of us to fit in. At work, that is probably where we spend the most of our time, is at work. So we need to be efficient when we work. Obviously to get the work done, but also to get people saved. To get people to know Jesus. To have an encounter with Jesus. Or just spend time with us, because we are awesome people. And whenever we spend time with cool people, we want to do the things the cool people do. I remember a quick testimony and then, not a testimony, a quick embarrassing story and then I'm gonna end off. I remember when I was at school, a couple of years ago, not too long ago, I was in grade 9, and it was a difficult stage of my life. And I remember, there were specific cliques in schools. There's some of the teachers would know, but I think all of you would know there's cliques in schools. Now you get the jocks, the big guys walking like a block. They don't twitch, the big rugby guys. Okay? So I was not big, but I had a big heart. So I walked with the big guys. And then I would walk. And then after break, I didn't play big rugby. So I need to go to another friend group because the big guys are playing rugby. So I had other friends as well. So it was the anti-jocks. The people that jeans, it hang just below their bum. They have a different type of walk. Now when I would get to them, I would also like, You know, like get the drop in your knee, like look at people weird, go at Chappie, like with an open mouth, and immediately I would change my actions to fit in with these people. Is it just me or? Just me. Okay, cool. Let's pray. Okay, so that's what I did. I tried to fit in with people. Because I didn't have the acceptance of Jesus in my life. So I tried to adapt my own mannerisms to fit in with people. I don't know why I told that story now. Oh, because we are cool people. We are cool people. And whenever we shine light, we are the light of the world. And we have something that the world don't have. We have joy. Most of the times. But we have something that people are longing for, and that is the presence of God. When we walk into Spar or Checkers or where we go, there's something different about us. And I've looked at you many times. I see you in the mall. Then I hide behind the shelf so you don't see me. No, I'm joking. But I've seen many of us in the mall, and I can see that there's something different. When I look at you, I can see there's something different in us. That when you would sit at a... maybe at a concert and you look over the crowd, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of hurt. People don't have Jesus. People are longing for Jesus, and we need to give Jesus. We need to tell people about Jesus. So why are we coming to church? To receive Jesus. To give Jesus. To pray for people to receive Jesus. So to backtrack to my question in the beginning, why church? And we can get very technical, but we're not going to, because it's very simple. If I read the gospel, children can understand the gospel. So simple it is. So church also needs to be simple. We also need to come with a mindset that we receive, but at the same time, we give. And we need to... another question that I'm not going to go into, but what are we giving? We need to give them the right things. We need to give people the right things. We need to give the specific people... I cannot give a baby a piece of steak. The baby need to drink milk. Groot mense... grown-ups can eat steaks. They can drink milk as well. But they need steak in order to grow. All the men says, yeah, we need steak. Okay, so we need solid food. And solid food we're going to find with Jesus. So to end off, why we come to church is we receive Jesus. We receive His goodness. We receive His faithfulness. One last testimony. God is a truly, truly, truly is looking after us. My wife and I went up to a wedding last weekend. That's why we weren't here last weekend. We went up to a wedding in Rustenburg. And somehow our finances, I got the sums wrong. And I thought they were money, but they weren't money. But I already spent the money. And when we got back in Cape Town, we landed, and at the evening, we just checked, okay, how many money is there left of the month? And when I look at the bank statement, it says 13 Rand. I'm like, shucks. It was last weekend, the 19th. There's still a couple of days left in the month. We were at the wedding last night as well, in Gansbaai, which was awesome. But God is a true provider, and we said, okay, We messed up our finances, but we need to trust God now. And Monday night, I told Yolanda, okay, let's just talk about the finances a bit later. Let's just eat in peace. Please, let's just eat in peace, and then we can deal with the fact that we don't have money. And we just ate, and we took the plates back to the kitchen, and I said, okay, cool, let's face the facts. And when I opened the bank account, there were money deposited into our account more than I thought. Well, not, but that I thought that we needed. So we had extra. We didn't ask God. We were like, okay, God, we've got some trouble here. Please always provides for us. I don't think even we asked for money. We just said, okay, God, you are a good God. And even in this, we're still going to praise your name. And God provided for our needs. So God is really a faithful, faithful God. And whenever we trust God for spiritual breakthrough, whenever we trust God for whatever we trust God for, He's faithful to come through for us. But it is so crucial for us to connect with Him. If we're not going to connect with Him, we're not going to grow. If we're not going to connect with the church, we're not going to grow. Let's stand and let's pray.